people have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call
618-223-8385. So when you hear parents say, you know, religion is something that's going to be an obstacle for my child's success, I think it's quite the opposite. And I think there's quite a bit of data to show that.
A child is a dangerous thing to bring into your life because it disrupts your life. And on some level, we have to learn that there are risks worth taking.
Churches that buy into these enthusiastic doctrines, they are like cut flowers. They will maintain the color that they had originally, but over and again, you're going to see that sound doctrine is going to die.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
Well, little Alfie Evans died in a hospital where the administrators refused to allow his parents to take him any place else in Great Britain over the weekend. I don't think anyone is saying that his death could have necessarily been prevented, but wouldn't it have been nice if his parents would have been allowed to at least try someplace else? And it's not as though there weren't opportunity or people willing to help or even to pay for it. Now, was this the result of simply bad policy on the part of the hospital, the healthcare system in Great Britain, just bad policy, or is there something deeper wrong there and perhaps even here as well in the underlying philosophy that would say, you know, you have a right to life as long as the government says you have a right to life, because that's exactly what happened in Alfie Evans' case. The government said he no longer had the right and his parents no longer had the right to see if he could live. The government decided that his life was not worth living, therefore no right to life. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, April the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking in about a half hour with David French, a National Review writer, on the lessons that we can learn, that we better learn from the Alfie Evans case. And then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us after that in hour two of the program to introduce the book of Ezra. We're still in the history. Ezra is a prophet. We have returned from exile. The temple's being rebuilt. It's not, though, a very happy occasion. We'll find out why. That's hour two of Issues Etc. And in the meantime, it's time for listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That comment line is always open for our listeners, 618-223-8382, as well as our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. If you ever want to leave a question, a comment, a criticism, a show suggestion on the listener comment line, feel free to do so anytime, any place you listen, 618-223-8382.
Well, first of all, let me begin our first segment of live programming for a new week by apologizing to you. You literally walked in here like an hour and a half ago after a lengthy drive from Fort Worth, Texas. And what do? We start with listener email.
I kind of figured we were headed that direction. When I think I inquired early what's scheduled, and I got no response, so I thought he's still scheduling. That must have been what was happening.
So, yeah, well, we had Lyman Stone scheduled, the demographer scheduled, but
right.
That was scheduled too early before you got in. So I apologize. Are you sure you're up for this? Is your mind, you know, can you take the challenges from our listeners?
I was reflecting on this. 2018 reflects 4 anniversaries One, the 25th anniversary of Issues, Etc. Two, the 10th anniversary since we returned to the air independently. That's a big one. It's also, by the way, my 10th anniversary at the congregation I serve in Millstadt, Illinois, and my 20th year doing the program. So if I can't walk in off the street and off the highway and do it after 20 years, I probably shouldn't be doing it anymore. So that's the way I look at it. But we went down to see my whole family. I come from a large family. My mom passed away a couple years ago, and the last time I got to see all the brothers together was at her funeral. So my dad had requested our presence since all the brothers but me were going to be there this weekend. So we went down this weekend to take advantage of that and had a great time. Ate a lot of good food.
How's Dad doing?
He's doing fantastic. He's 82 years old, and he played hours upon, and I'm not joking, hours upon hours of cornhole with his 13-year-old grandson down there, and one of his sons, and who else? He challenged somebody else.
Is cornhole like suburbia's version of horseshoes?
A little bit. You've seen it. It's got the little...
I don't think I have.
Oh, you haven't? Well,
I don't know.
You haven't spent enough time in Texas. you have bean bags, four bean bags. There is a box set up that's kind of on a slant, 27 feet away with a hole in the top of the box, and the goal is to get onto the box or in the hole on the box. I don't know why they call it cornhole, maybe because there's corn in the bean bags. I have no idea. All I know is my dad, 82 years old, played hours upon hours of this, beating opponent after opponent, throwing that bean bag at 82 years old in the sun down there in
the Texas sun.
Yes, the Texas.
I'm not surprised. I know your dad.
He's
a lot tougher than you and me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has a lot more patience than you and me.
Yes.
So it is basically, cornhole is a suburbia's version of horseshoes.
Yeah, it makes less noise than horseshoes. So, yes, it is.
I think where I live, I'll bet there's probably a zoning ordinance against like the old-fashioned horseshoes. If I put that in my backyard, I think I might have the city coming down on
me. They probably would. So, I mean, that's how we spent the time. We just sat out on the back patio, and then we'd go out to... I went to see late Saturday night with my youngest brother, his wife, and his 13-year-old son. We went to see the Avengers movie, Infinity War.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I'd seen all of them with the exception of one or two, and so people are gushing about it, how fantastic. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. There were, I will tell you, without spoiling anything, there were actually people crying at the end of the movie. I'm not joking. I was in a theater full to the brim of sobbing nerds. They were crying. Some people were crying out, oh no, it can't be, at the end of the movie.
Well, later this week, our official movie reviewer, Pastor Ted Geese, will be discussing, what is it, Affinity?
Infinity. Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Something War?
Avengers Infinity War Part 1.
Thank you.
And it's definitely a Part 1. A 3-hour Part 1, but it was definitely... So I got back to the hotel really late on Saturday night.
I think you should begin your interview with Pastor Geese asking him, did you cry?
I bet you he did.
Really?
If he is,
no,
if
he didn't.
Yes, if he is the movie geek that I think he probably is, I bet you there were some tears shed on his part. There were people crying in the row right behind us. There were people actively weeping at the end of this movie.
Pastor Geese, if you're listening live, answer this question, please. Did you cry at the end of the latest Avengers movie, Infinity?
And
Infinity,
leading up to,
is that what it is? Is
Infinity it, War. Okay. Leading up for about 10 minutes before I heard the weeping, there were people all over the theater yelling out in loud voices, wailing and crying out, no, no, it can't be. And then we always sit for the entire roll of the credits because they usually put something at the end of the credits to kind of tell you what's coming next in the next series of the movies. And we did that all the way to the end of 20 minutes of credits. But there was a group of people who really enjoyed the movie sitting right next to me. And as soon as the movie was over, they didn't even stick around for the credits like good Avengers comic book geeks. They got up. The one guy said, worst ending ever, and they got up and left.
Sounds similar to the ending last night of Fear the Walking Dead.
I didn't watch it.
I know you're not only behind on Fear the Walking Dead, you're behind on The Walking Dead. You're never going to get caught up.
No. One of those things I'm going to take to my grave with me. They're going to say, what do you think his biggest regret was? He never got caught up on The Walking Dead.
Put that on your tombstone.
He made it to see, what was the season 5 or 6? And then he just never got caught up. That's one of those things in your life that you have to accept. Eventually you have to accept it. I'm never going to be a Major League Baseball player. I'm never going to be president of the United States. I'm never going to be an astronaut. You accept those things about yourself. I'm never going to catch up on The Walking Dead.
Does that mean Craig and I can now talk openly, publicly, in the office about what happened Sunday night?
Yeah, I'll give you guys permission to do that.
Wow.
Because if I ever do get caught up, I'm going to have to go through and read Wikipedia and then just start afresh, which is what I'll do.
Hey, let me begin. I want to thank our listeners for the email this week. Succinct. It's one word to describe it, which you know what that means.
Short.
Short. And there's the chances of me improperly reading it is diminished immensely. So let's begin. Jody S., a question for you, the Right Reverend Pastor Todd Wilkin. If faith comes by hearing, why do some reject and others receive when the Holy Spirit goes out with the word? Thanks for the email, Jody.
First of all, let's establish what Scripture means when it says faith comes by hearing. What it's talking about there is the means by which God creates saving faith in the hearts of, in unbelieving hearts. All hearts in their natural state they may acknowledge that there is a God, but they do not have saving faith. They do not believe that Jesus Christ lived, suffered, died, and rose again as their substitute for them. That is the nature of saving faith. Now, is there more to saving faith than that? Does it contain much more? Yes, it does. It's the gospel in all its articles. But the bare, simple gospel is that Jesus Christ lived, suffered, died, and rose again as your substitute to pay the price for your sins. Therefore, you have forgiveness of sins before God. You are reconciled to God. You are a child of God. You are forgiven and therefore saved from the wrath of God. All of those things go along with it. That trust, that simple trust, can come only by hearing. That is, it is received only through God's word. There's a lot more in that phrase than we generally give it credit for, because this faith is a miracle that the Holy Spirit must work through the means of his word. That is his word of law and gospel. He brings a man to genuine repentance through law and gospel. He gives them that contrition over sin, that knowledge of sin, and that saving faith. That must be wrought solely by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of God's word of law and gospel. That's a simple way of kind of unpacking faith comes by hearing. Notice here that hearing is, by its very nature, a passive thing. That is, this faith is given to us, worked in us, created in us, established in us by the Holy Spirit from the outside. Sounds come from the outside, not from the inside. So faith is not the product of reasoning. It's not the product of one's own will or effort. It's not the product of kind of a mechanical set of propositions that lead to an inevitable conclusion. It is a miracle worked by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of law and gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Now that we rightly understand what that phrase means, your question is very good. Why is it then that, if faith comes by hearing, why is it that not everyone who hears believes? That is a question. Sometimes it's put this way. Why are some saved and not others? If God alone saves, why are some saved and not others? If you treat that as only one question, then it can have only one answer, which is, well, God saves some and he doesn't save others. He wills to save some and he doesn't save others. The Calvinists have come up with this answer, which views that as one question with only one answer. The answer must be God. And so if God saves, then God will also be the one who would not will someone to be saved or not work saving faith, which is why if you're a thoroughgoing Calvinist, you can never really truly be sure if you're preaching that the Holy Spirit's working through that in every case of those who hear. You can't be sure of it because sometimes that preaching comes with the work of the Holy Spirit, according to Calvinists, and sometimes it doesn't. It's an empty word that may be heard but not believed. It's not one question, it's actually two questions. Why some and not others? Why do some hear and the Holy Spirit works faith and others hear and the same Holy Spirit is at work through that word, earnestly working to create faith, and yet that person does not believe? It's two questions with two different answers. God is earnest in his preaching of law and gospel that all who hear it believe it. His word is always powerful to do these things. But whenever God works through means, and that's why I had mentioned early on, this is how the Holy Spirit works through means. Whenever God works through means, he suffers himself to be resisted. That is, he permits man to resist. We do not teach an irresistible grace, but rather we teach a grace that is pure, that is grace, that is a gift that can be rejected, can be heard, and rejected, ignored, pushed away. This is evident from Jesus' interaction with his opponents in the Gospels, how you thrust the word of God from you is what the apostle says to those same opponents in the book of Acts. You thrust the word of God away from you. Man can resist the work of the Holy Spirit and often does. So there are two questions with two different answers. When the Holy Spirit, through his word of law and gospel, is being preached and one hears and believes, then the Holy Spirit has done what the promise says. The Holy Spirit gets all the credit. When the Holy Spirit preaches through his law and gospel and someone hears and does not believe, we do not fault the Holy Spirit for lack of effort or maybe he's just having an off day. No, that is man's responsibility. The answer to that question is man resists the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus even faults his opponents again, always resisting the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't blame the Holy Spirit for failing to work faith. He says you resist him. He works and you resist him. Now, there's one other way we can get this wrong before we take our break, and that is to say, well, okay, so what you're saying is the people who hear and believe, they didn't resist. And again, this is rather tricky, but no. The Holy Spirit even works faith in those who resist. He overcomes the resistance in those who believe. Why doesn't he overcome the resistance in those who resist and don't believe? It's not for lack of effort or for trying or for exerting his work. But God allows himself to be resisted. Is this an intellectually satisfying answer? No. Is this a satisfying answer in our sense of fairness, that man would be blamed for his unbelief and God would be given all credit when a man does believe? Is this an answer that ties up all the loose ends and answers every last little objection we might want to raise to it? No. But this is what God's word teaches there. When a man is saved, it is all due to God and his work through his word of law and gospel. When a man refuses to believe, it is his fault and his fault alone. When we come back, we'll go through some more listener email, the issues, etc. comment line. It's Monday, April the 30th. After about 15 minutes, David French of National Review will be joining us. We're going to find out whether or not the death of Alvie Evans was just bad policy or bad philosophy, too. Stay tuned. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Children are a human right. Children are a lifestyle choice. Children are angels. Children are a nuisance. There are not enough children to sustain the economy. There are too many children to sustain the planet. Need some clarity amidst all the shouting? Check out the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Hear from moms and dads, pastors and teachers about what it really means to receive and value the gift of children in our lives. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Lutheran Elementary School Association is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During April, if you open a federal FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zultz, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Monday, April the 30th. It's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
Email from Willis. Jesus says in Matthew 24:35 that heaven and earth will pass away, etc. We pray to our Father who art in heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven. Elijah is taken into heaven, and the rich man saw Lazarus. Which heaven is Jesus referring to in Matthew 24:35?
The word heaven or heavens in both the Old Testament and the New Testament has a wider and a narrower meaning. It also has several kind of ancillary meanings. In its simplest form, it doesn't refer to the dwelling place of God. Usually, simply, especially in the Old Testament, it refers to the sky or everything that isn't the earth. So the heavens, which include all the celestial bodies, everything that is not the earth are the heavens. Heavens and the earth. That's the biggest, broadest meaning of the word heaven. In its narrowest sense, it can mean the dwelling place of God. It's not stopping meaning the sky, because that is where God dwells. He dwells above us in the highest heavens, that is far, far above us. But it means more narrowly, like the heavenly courtroom or something like that. It means the eternal dwelling of God. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, we're using it in both senses, but primarily in the sense of his eternal dwelling place. It also means the sky, but only in a far lesser sense. When Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, he's using it in that broadest sense, excluding the dwelling place of God, which cannot pass away, no more than God could pass away. So he's talking about the earth and everything that isn't the earth in creation will pass away. So he's using it in that purely, let's say, terrestrial or celestial meaning. When Elijah ascends into heaven, he ascends into both the sky and we are given to believe the eternal presence of God. So it's both senses there. When Jesus ascends into heaven, he certainly ascends into the sky. But more importantly, into the eternal presence of God where he sits at God's right hand. So there are times when it's used in a narrow sense exclusively, in a wider sense exclusively, or in both senses to varying degrees. I hope that clears that up.
We have a special promotion going on right now, Issues Etc. What does this mean?
That's right. We are asking our listeners to use the Issues Etc. comment line for one of its intended purposes, that is, to give us a call and answer a question. Sometimes we'll just put out a question, ask people to answer it. And the question this time is Issues Etc. What does this mean? Or you could say, what does it mean to you? You answer that question by calling 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Answer the question. Let us know who you are, where you listen, and in as brief as possible, Issues Etc. What does this mean? Or what does this mean to you? If we use your answer on the air, then we will send you a audio DVD that contains all of the presentations from all of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. That's how many conferences so far? Six conferences so far. So you get all of the presentations, all of the speakers, the hymn sings, all of those things are on there. The sermons, all of them are there on the audio DVD. And it goes to someone who leaves a comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, answering the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? And we choose to play it on the air just like this one.
Issues Etc., what does this mean? It means I am no longer alone in yearning for more information about the issues of the day, history, the arts, and science included. Instead, I hear additional viewpoints and learn the broader ramifications of current events that they may have on Christians and my neighbors. It also means I am no longer alone in my desire for theological and spiritual knowledge. Instead, I'm so happy to receive the Bible studies and information about other religions. My eyes have been opened to the wonderful benefits of the Lutheran confessions. In practical terms, Issues Etc. means I won't miss out on the broadcasts because of work and other schedules. Instead, I can download all the podcasts and listen to them on the go or here at home in Clinton, Wisconsin, which I can and do. But above all, Issues Etc. has motivated me to apply the gospel and all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in all my activities, to the news of the day, and in my relationships with others. What wonderful blessings we Lutherans have, and what a mission we have, as we daily say, thank you, Jesus, for suffering and dying on the cross in payment for my sins. May the Lord help and sustain Issues Etc.
Well, congratulations, Elaine, and thank you very much for your answer to that question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? We will send you an audio DVD from all of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. If you would send us your mailing address, lynn@issuesetc.org. That's L-Y-N-N at issuesetc.org. For the rest of you, you can leave your answer to that question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean? Your opportunity to win an audio DVD with all of the presentations from all of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Again, congratulations to Elaine. Thanks for listening. When we come back, David French of National Review joins us to talk about some lessons from the death of Alfie Evans. If you come, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.